folks, the time is 4:45, and we'll go ahead and reconvene the meeting. And Parks and Rec Director, if you'll continue your presentation.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is Jeff Ashay, Parks and Recreation Director. Going back to our management proposal, you'll see if you're following along, we are on page 4. We're at the bottom, talking about the proposed maintenance plan. This is not the proposed maintenance plan, because that will be a few pages long. This is just describing it. It is all grounds maintenance will be performed by city staff. But the cleaning and trash, that's going to be performed by the park host that we mentioned and city staff in conjunction with one another. Again, we will add one light equipment operator to our current list of 14 that we have now. We will create a yearly schedule with the current mowing crews to include developed areas of the park. And we will develop maintenance standards that are specific to Dana Peak Park. We have worked on this with our for our Parks and Recreation Department as a whole. We've done some maintenance standards for all of our facilities over the past few years. And so we will look at incorporating those same standards to Dana Peak Park, specific to what that facility needs. Obviously, as Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist talked about earlier, we will do some minor repairs as needed. So restroom facilities where repairs are needed, the roadways, the striping, potholes, things like that. And then the boat ramp and floating dock area will need some maintenance, and so that will all be included in that maintenance plan. Anybody have any questions before we move on? That's a pretty quick description.
Okay, Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I know this, like you said, this is just the proposed maintenance plan. This is not the maintenance plan, but one of the things you probably should focus on, it should probably have its own annex, is the plan to clean the park should we have a flood event, because that's going to be a major plan. And I'm sure the Corps can help you out there with what all it entails and what it's gone on in the past with different flood events. But, you know, it's always better to have something planned rather than to have to start from scratch or come in it after the fact. So that's something we probably should think about ahead of time.
Absolutely. We'll include that in this maintenance plan. And yes, you're right. Obviously, the Corps of Engineers has experience in that area, so we will make sure to utilize them as a resource. Okay, so moving on very quickly to our reservation system, the fees and the hours for the facility. Hitting first the reservation system. I'm sorry, next slide, Gary. The Parks and Recreation Department, the Finance Department, and we have included IT on some of this as well, have held joint demos with Civic Plus, Book King, Rec Track. We've also had conversations with some others. These are Parks and Recreation software providers. And the best system for the needs of Dana Peak Park, and as a matter of fact, the best system for the needs of our Parks and Recreation Department as a whole at this time is Rec Track, which is provided by Vermont Systems. The reason I say that is it can also be adapted to our current athletic and recreation programs and facility rentals, which very few of these softwares have the capabilities to do what we currently do, as well as the campsite and day use and pass capabilities. It's also compatible with Encode and other finance software, so they were, like I said, part of this process. It's the most able system in terms of camping reservations and park entrance fee collection. It's a very easy to use software. It has the capability to print out yearly passes and keep track of those expiration dates. And the fees for system use, there's a $21,000 one-time fee for setup, training, and equipment. They do actually send staff. They will fly staff here to do an in-person training with all of our staff. They will set up those the necessary equipment. And like I said, that does include the purchase of that. And then there's an $11,340 flat yearly fee for those services. And one thing to keep in mind here, we are currently under a 3-year contract with ActiveNet that will be up next year. One of the benefits to a lot of the softwares now, but particularly RecTrack, is there is no contract length. You take it year by year, so we won't enter in. If we end up wanting to move to a different system, we can do that much easier than the system that we're under right now. So that's one thing to keep in mind. The park hours and dates, pretty simple here, but the biggest benefit to the city taking over this park is that the park, the developed area that we've mentioned a few times, will remain open all year. Currently, it's closed. It closed as of October 1. So that's not the trails, but the beach area, the day use area, the camping sites, all that stuff is currently closed. So park hours, park will remain open all year, and the park hours will actually remain the same as they are currently, which are 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Gate hours as 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. We will include an unmanned pay station at the entrance for users that arrive at the park before or after gate hours. The self-pay permit will need to be adhered to a user's windshield. And somewhere in here, I've got an example from the state parks that I took when my wife and I visited one. But this is, again, something that the state park system uses with much success. In kind of backcountry areas, the national park system uses this as well. So this is a very normal and typical way of you know, getting gate fees, processing gate fees without having to have the person at the gate at all times. So that will be something that we obviously have to enforce, but we don't see having an issue with that. Moving on to park fees, do want to point out, like everything we have discussed, that the park fees are tentative, must be approved by City Council, but they're also subject to change pending further discussions with city leadership, city staff, and the public. So these recommendations here, again, are pretty simple, and they're subject to your input. We do have a resident and a non-resident rate for entrance fees. We have $7, $8, or $10 per vehicle for a Harker Heights resident, $10, $12, or $15 per vehicle for a non-resident. And then we have, this is where we do need to discuss some things. We do have a trail use donation station at the main trailhead on Comanche Gap here. One of the things that was talked about when we had a public discussion in the fall of last year on Dana Peak, there was a lot of concern about paying to utilize the trails when they currently don't. So we do want to, the thing that I do want to make sure that the Parks and Recreation Department does is educate users, park users, trail users on, you know, Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist, kind of what you said, that these improvements do cost money. And so regardless of how we do that, whether we charge a fee or whether we try to, you know, get donations and also put as much information out there about volunteering for those trail maintenance days as we possibly can to try to get as much buy-in from the community as we can, we still want to make sure that we're educating the public on what needs to be done out there, what that costs, you know, what volunteer time goes into that, how many hours are spent doing those projects. And like I mentioned, we're not going to be, you know, inventing the wheel here. There are already groups that are performing some of this maintenance, but like I said, it tends to be the few taking care of the park for, you know, the masses. And so we want to make sure that we're advertising that we need volunteers and trying to expand that program. And then, so in the same way that we gave you three options for the entrance fees, we'll also give three options for an annual pass. And the same as what it is currently, you know, boat ramp users will have to either pay the day use fee or get the pass, which is it written into their fee schedule currently. We do have two prices per car. So the first car per household, it'll be $50, $60, or $75 for a year for a Harker Heights resident, $80, $90, or $105 for a non-resident. The second car per household, they get a discount, $30, $40, or $50 for a resident, or $60, $70, or $80. And again, we gave you three choices, but these can be modified based on what you would like to see. And we also have on here that seniors can receive a $10 discount on the price of an annual pass. And we can designate a different age for seniors. We can go along with what we have for our senior program to keep things consistent. But that's, again, another item that is up to you as a council to take a look at and see what you would like to offer for a senior discount. And then as for our facility reservation fees, we did only give you one choice here, but you can still discuss and we can change these things. The pavilion, we have a resident fee of $60, and that's for the entire day. Now, our current facilities pavilions, they're for four-hour blocks, but this is for the entire day. A non-resident would pay $100. There's a $100 refundable cleaning deposit, and this does not include entrance fees. So if you have a party or a group or something out there, you rent the facility, but they will still have to pay the entrance fee per vehicle to get in. And then we also have the rates here, and this is, again, from research that we've done for cities that have campsites and other facilities in our area, in our region, and across the state. The standard electric, the RV sites, which include entrance fees for one vehicle, is $25 a night for a resident, $35 for a non. for a tent-only electric, 17 for a resident, 25 for a non, and for a tent-only non-electric or a primitive campsite, as they're called, it's a $12 fee for resident, $20 for a non. And before we get on to the second-to-last section here, just wanted to see if anybody had any questions, comments.
Councilmember McCann.
Just a brief question. Right now, is it contractors that are doing cleanup and everything, or how's, I don't remember specifically, and I've been out there quite a few times, but what's the situation with cleanup and everything right now?
So I can answer that as much as I can. I'm not sure if Ronnie Brugman is still on the call, but they do have a cleaning contract, they have a maintenance contract, and I'm not sure what else they have, but a mowing contract.
Yes, it's very,
correct,
mowing, that's
yes.
Right. It's
so those are right those now. Are outside contractors that do those items, that do that work currently.
Including the trash pickup.
Correct.
Okay.
Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Jeff, one thing I'd ask you to take a look at, you know, if things are going well, and don't look at reinventing the wheel as far as the way things are done, but don't take "we've always done it this way" as an answer if things are not looking good or the things can be improved, because a lot of times, you know, things change as times change and things can be improved and done well. And I'm sure yourself and your staff and you all take a look at that, but just keep that in mind when you're being presented with options, that just the way they've done it in the past for umpteen years doesn't always necessarily mean it's the best way to do something. So, you know, keep an open mind and making sure that you optimize things, especially like, you know, the flow of the ingress or egress when people come in to process for their passes and stuff like that. There's ways to make things more efficient, because no one likes to sit there and wait in a huge long line, especially on a holiday weekend, that type thing. So just keep that in mind.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, please continue.
All right. Okay, so moving on to our programming, marketing, and then some opportunities for concessions. So the Parks and Recreation Department will use our current capabilities in marketing to expand the reach of Dana Peak Park to the surrounding community and beyond. The opportunities that are provided by the Dana Peak Park area can have lasting economic and health-related benefits to the city. We're always looking to, much like Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist just mentioned, we're always looking to improve our events and programming that we offer to the community. Obviously, this allows us to do that vastly. And so among the programs that we will be able to upgrade here based on leasing Dana Peak Park, our camping program that we typically do once a year is massively successful. It is really popular. It is an opportunity for families. And the best example I come up with is similar to, again, Texas State Parks, Texas Outdoor Family, which the goal is to get folks who maybe have not camped or are not really comfortable camping, to get them out camping for a weekend with their family, learn how to cook over a fire, you know, and to do all the fun activities that go along with that, telling ghost stories and all that stuff, especially during, you know, the month of October. That's a really fun one. But we're really looking at expanding that program, because it's very important to getting people outside and getting people comfortable. There are a lot of people who are just not comfortable with these opportunities that are presented by Dana Peak, you know, whether that's camping or hiking or whatever, and you just have to be out there with them, and then they'll be park users. You know, these are folks that will come out and utilize the park for those purposes once they have learned how. So that's a very successful program. We want to make sure that we can do that more than, you know, once a year. Something we're very excited about is our pop-up park program, which we just purchased a covered trailer with a lot of activities in it, where we plan on going around the city and providing essentially a play place for kids and families to, you know, engage in recreation in places where they may not have that. But in addition to that, we want to take it to our current parks, and we want to take it out to Dana Peak, and we want to make really quick events out of that. One thing that we would really like to do is, and it's really not very expensive, is, you know, provide an outdoor classroom out there so that we can increase the interpretive programming that's out there, the educational programming. We've got opportunities to expand in bird watching. Archery programs have been brought up time after time after time. And what we're talking about here is temporary, not a free use archery field, but something that we get out there and we can do when it's programmed. But archery would be very, very popular. Trail runs, I have actually been contacted by some groups that want to do trail runs in this area because this Bell County and Killeen Harker Heights are underrepresented in a lot of the trail run schedules that are out there throughout Texas. And you know, Dana Peak is something that consistently comes up, and so those are things that we can add to our offerings as well. Guided hikes, again, movie nights on the beach, interpretive programs, educational signage that we can add out there so that folks that are utilizing the park can learn a little bit about what's incorporated in that facility. And in our trail maintenance days, that's probably the most important thing on this list, is we're going to be pushing these trail maintenance days. It's going to be an extension of what we've started doing with our I Love My Parks days, where we get people out to understand, you know, that these parks don't just happen. They take a lot of work, and they can be beautified very quickly by the efforts of a community. And that's what we want to push out here at Dana Peak. Again, Dana Peak will also be the host, perfect host for occasional events that are hosted by the city and our partners. We will allow large occasional events at the park, such as the Food, Wine, and Brew Festival, movie events. I was not here, but if you'll remember, the 50th anniversary of Harker Heights was a concert that was held at Dana Peak. And from what I understand, it was a really, really, really fun and successful event where Robert Earl Keen came out and played a concert. So very popular. You know, again, this is not a every weekend thing, but it's obviously a site that can provide a really good opportunity for, you know, economic development and just fun for people that live in this region.
Yeah, and this is Mayor Smith. I just want to interject on that, is that event was really a community event, and especially with our neighbors at Fort Hood. I mean, they had the static displays out there showing what they had, as well as PD, fire department. We had a lot of stuff, a lot of people out there. I think only detractor, and I mean, there were a lot of people that came up from Austin because Robert Earl Keen was playing, and I got to meet him. And I think he was probably somewhere else at the time, but he's pretty mellow. Great show. And again, I mean, I'm a fan of his music as well. But the only thing that was a detractor, I think, was because of the weather. Kept a lot of people away because we had a lot of thunderstorms moving through the air. But we had a lot of very, very positive comments. It was a safe, and it was an environment that families could enjoy there. So, Councilmember McCann.
I had to add to that because I was there, and I thought it was perfect. I mean, all of our civic clubs were involved in that too, and that was really neat to see because I don't think we were shy one of them. Everyone, I know our Harker Heights Rotary Club had grilled and brought the grills out and sold sandwiches, but it was such a neat community event. I mean, it's got great potential for the Food, Wine, and Brew Fest. I love that you put that on there already too, but it just having any music with water in the background is going to be an attraction for numerous types of people and places to come to us finally, so that'd be nice.
Okay, Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
This is Mayor Pro Tem Michael Blomquist. The obvious thing looking at you in the face here, this is on a lake, so we need fishing tournaments. So, you know, there's a lot of them that do the weekly out there, the 3x9. You see them, you read about them in the paper every Saturday. But, you know, you could host, you know, if you get on the map, you could actually host one of the big bass splashes or something like that and get on those tournaments like that. And, you know, they do fish lakes like Stillhouse, so that would be a good opportunity.
Absolutely. And this is Jeff Eshay, Parks and Rec Director. And a group that understands, you know, the Leave No Trace principles would be the anglers. So if an event like that, you would probably not even know it was out there Monday after it. So that's what we would be looking to provide out there is stuff that's, you know, good, clean fun and minimally invasive to the facility. Also, lastly on this, we will host concessionaires that will provide value to the overall experience, and we want to make sure that everyone knows this is without compromising the conservation and natural resource management of the facility. So we're looking at, keyword here, mobile kayak, stand-up paddleboard, canoe rentals, mobile concessions, you know, small mobile concessions, bait shop, making that easily accessible for the users of that park. You know, provides a little bit of you know, revenue, both for a concessionaire and for the city, but really provides value. That's the bigger deal there. That concludes going through the management proposal. So if you'll look here, we've got three options for a revenues and expense worksheet. So next slide, Gary. So I just wanted to cover, they're all the same other than the price for per vehicle. So I just wanted to cover this first one here, and then you have the information that you can look at on your own. So option one is the $7 and $10 per vehicle, and that's resident, non-resident. So just below that, if you look at the estimated attendance per year, both of those resident vehicles and non-resident vehicles, that ends up being around 21,000 people. Those are based from fiscal year 18 attendance, and it is important to keep in mind that 2018 was a flood year. It wasn't a major flood year, so the park was open most of the year, but it was closed for a small portion. So I did, when I was going through and putting these numbers together, we did want to make sure that we utilized not the busiest year that Dana Peak Park has had, so that we get a good estimate of what it could look like. So it ended up being about 21,000 people, and I estimated 30% of those vehicles would be non-resident. Again, I think that's low. I think that more than 30% of the vehicles would be non-resident. And looking at the numbers, just so that you have this number, it's not on here, but 22% of that was active duty military. So as it's been mentioned, active duty military does get a waiver. They get in for free at this facility, but it was 22% of that 21,000. So looking at the revenues, that would bring us to 166 for just gate attendance. These pavilion, tent, and RV site revenues, these numbers were taken from fiscal year 17 at the time that this was put together. We did not have the fiscal year 18 rental revenues. It was not a flood year, but it is important to remember that the park was closed from October to March, so a good portion of that time, the park was not open. And these numbers don't reflect the small price increase that are included in the management proposal. These numbers are straight from their revenues. So again, we would anticipate that the numbers would be a little bit higher than that. This obviously incorporates some of the big holidays, Labor Day, 4th of July. So a lot of the revenue will come from those summer months. But there are, as you go outside this weekend, it's going to be good camping weather. So there would be some revenue that would be generated outside of that. And as was mentioned by Ms. McCann, this does not include the revenues that can be generated by programming. And again, that's kind of hard to look at because we don't know exactly what those will entail, but that is, again, something to keep in mind. Looking at the operating expenses, under personnel service, it does have the contracted gate attendance, and it only includes the contracted gate attendance. We can look at, adding the other personnel service. The supplies, the supplies and maintenance line items, this is essentially mimicking the Parks and Recreation budget. And this is after some extensive talks with our current parks crews and our Parks and Public Grounds supervisor, and seeing what we think we would need for this facility compared to what we use for our current facilities. So you're looking at about $5,500 for our supplies line items. And then when you go down to maintenance, $1,000 for vehicle maintenance, $2,000 for equipment maintenance, $2,000 for building maintenance, and $20,000 for ground maintenance, totaling $25,000. Again, it's important to note that those are essentially daily charges, projects, small projects and things like that. That is not capital improvement projects. That is not the repair of roads. That is not the repair of a building after a flood year, things like that. This is our daily general maintenance. The services, we do have the reservation system, the yearly service at $11,340. Our utilities, these were taken from Corps of Engineers fees that they paid for these utilities and then added a little bit to it to take into account that we'll be open the full year. And so that totals about $75,500. So you're looking at $166,000 for the total operating expense. And then you'll see at the bottom there, and that does have these numbers here, that does have a net increase of 57,000. Obviously, that can change depending on revenues from programs and other things that we would like to add to this. But at the bottom there, you'll see the estimated total for a park-specific master plan is between $23,000 and $25,000 from what we've budgeted for that. So with that, I will be happy to answer any questions. Oh, I do have one more thing about the parks budget. It is important to note that part of the lease agreement, incorporated in the lease agreement, is that the revenues and the profits, they have to be utilized at the park within 5 years. So as we generate monies, you know, it was talked about to utilize that money in other facets of the city. That can't be done. But we don't think that would be necessary because, you know, we just talked about wanting to improve our facilities and wanting to, you know, expand on what we're able to do out there. And so that money will be utilized within the park, and also it'll be utilized, as Mr. Mitchell mentioned earlier, for, you know, a flood event is going to happen. And the Corps of Engineers has done a great job through trial and error of making sure that park is not floodproof, because nothing's floodproof, but as flood resistant as it can be. A lot of those facilities that are out there now have withstood major floods, and most of the work that needs to be done is cleanup at this point. But that doesn't mean that we don't prepare for that. So these monies that are generated will be, you know, in a fund that we can use when we have repairs that need to be made from floods or just from wear and tear. So it is important to remember that those revenues must be utilized at the park, and that's part of the lease agreement. With that being said, I can answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. And looking at your options there, the number of personnel, just to make sure we're comparing apples to apples here, that snapshot of the personnel that attended during that year, that's just during the park when it was open, correct? So that's just that 6 month period or whatever that you know, from March to October that the park was open. Is that where you got those numbers from?
Under the operating expenses?
No, for the actual attendees.
Yes.
So then when you look at your operating expenses under the supplies, personnel, and maintenance, that's going to be for annual, correct?
That's annually.
So that's not that's we're open 365 days a year then?
Correct.
Okay, so, you know, you can probably I don't know if you want how you would extrapolate it to be accurate, but to forecast, you know, you're going to have some, obviously, more in attendance throughout those overlap months, especially when you get, you know, a lot of the snowbirds come down south and they like to bring their RVs and camp, and, you know, Texas weather winters are much, much more mild than up in the north. So, you know, you're going to have, like you said, more attendees throughout the whole year. You know, even then you'll have hunters too in the winter too, because people, you can hunt on Stillhouse Lake. So there's other opportunities to bring people in to enjoy the park that right now they can't because the park's closed. So I think that, you know, you're conservative in your estimates there with the revenues that you would generate. So I think that's a good thing that you're showing that you're being conservative, so that way, you know, we can be fully transparent when we, you know, bring this back to the council for deliberation, and the public can see in a public forum that, hey, we're being very, very conservative here. This is not going to be an added tax bill, as some have proposed or purported to be, that the city is trying to get the city sunk into a huge debt for, you know, taking over Dana Peak Park. That's not the case at all. So if nothing else, it's going to be revenue positive. We'll be able to have these extra profits and revenues to improve the park beyond what it is now, because right now the Corps does not have the funds to improve it and make it nicer for not only Harker Heights, but for all of the Central Texas in this region here to come enjoy this park. So I think it's a good plan with the options here, and I look forward to deliberating it with my fellow council members.
Okay, thank you. Anything else from the council?
Mayor, this is Councilwoman Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine. I just wanted to add, the next time that we see the presentation, I would like to see, just as Michael stated about, we didn't capture the whole year. We want to project what we're going to capture throughout the whole year with our programs that we're going to establish, because that gives us a firm handle on what we could expect to see in numbers, because as we all know, numbers don't lie. And so the next time I see the presentation, I would like to see added slides of what our projections would look like once we added the events that we plan on incorporating into our program in our parks. I would also like to see how we are going to incorporate our concessions and what we expect for those concessions to bring, and the tournaments, and all of that has to be clear, crystal clear, for our residents to be able to see. So, Ms. Bruchet, if you could provide us with that data and information, that would be great. So when we go towards making our decisions, it'll be crystal clear across the board on what we're doing with Dana Peak Park. Over, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else from the council? Okay, this is the mayor. I've got just one comment. You know, as we look at these fees going forward on that, I want to make sure that we're fair and equitable for all citizens of Harker Heights, that it should be fair and equitable for people utilizing that park and those facilities, that it, that's what we would have across the board. I'm retired military, and again, our active duty military, they have predictable income, okay? So that's a point there. This is for the city of Harker Heights, and again, that's just some thoughts that I would encourage you to have. Again, under some of the programs is that we've already been in contact on the property that we purchased through hotel motel tax. It didn't come out of the general fund as far as Comanche Gap Park. And again, that's got a historical marker on there. Bell County Museum is well aware of a lot of the things that are transpired on this property way back when, especially with the Native Americans in this area, that historical background. And alongside that is, there's also the historical background of the families whose homes used to be at the bottom of Stillhouse Hollow Reservoir, okay, and the communities that were there. So those are some of the things that a lot of people who are not from this area don't know about, and I think that's something that can also explain to them on how Harker Heights has evolved over the years. So I really think this is really good. Again, Mr. Mitchell mentioned about how this isn't something that the city council just came up with. Is that this is something we had citizen input on many of the different committees and commissions that we've had through the years. And again, Mr. Bart, can you tell us how long we've been working on this issue?
Mayor, we've been working on the issue since 2000.
Okay, since 2000. Okay, it's 2020 now. Again, we've had an iterative process. We'll take a look at it. And again, we have had citizen input. And again, the popular word out there right now is transparency. Okay, we're not being opaque at all. All right, so again, the information's out there for the citizens that they can talk to a Parks and Recreation Director and everybody else during the week, because they're here to answer those questions so people have the proper information and that there aren't false narratives that get spread out and get people all worked up that's not true statements, okay? So if you want to know the truth, want to know the numbers, come to City Hall and ask your questions. Is there anything else from the City Council? You have anything else on this item?
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Okay, time being 5:18, we're adjourned.
This conference is no longer being recorded.